WDEE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Protesters removed from the hearing room as Secretary of State Antony Blinken testifies about the chaotic withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan.
You can sleep at night when you're killing so many kids.
Blinken telling House of Foreign Affairs Committee that no one anticipated the Afghan government would collapse as quickly as it did 3 years ago when U.S. troops pulled out. Inflation holding steady month to month and year to year. Today's Consumer Price Index report could spell another interest rate cut next week. But after that, says ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
Economists are saying we could see the Fed pause these interest rate cuts early next year as they wait to see where inflation heads. We know it's moving closer to the Fed's 2% target. It's just that last mile, so to speak, has been a tough one to get inflation to that point.
Still fighting extradition to New York, Luigi Mangione, the 26-year-old, accused of murdering healthcare CEO Brian Thompson last week in Manhattan. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
4 WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin prosecutors have filed 10 additional felony charges against two attorneys and an aide to President-elect Donald Trump, who advised the Republican in 2020 as part of a plan to submit paperwork falsely saying that Trump had won the battleground state that year. Jim Tropas, who was Trump's attorney in Wisconsin, Kenneth Chisborough, an attorney who advised the campaign, and Mike Roman, Trump's director of Election Day operations in 2020, all initially faced a single felony forgery charge in Wisconsin. But on Tuesday, the Wisconsin Department of Justice filed 10 additional felony charges against each of them for attempting to defraud each of the state's 10 GOP electors. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the state's outdoor recreation industry had another record-setting year. According to a press release, outdoor recreation in Wisconsin contributed over $11 billion to the state economy, a nearly 10% jump from its contribution in 2023. Multi-use apparel and accessories and motorcycling and ATVing led the growth, with each category generating over $11 billion of economic impact. Boating and fishing generated the third most impact at $928 million. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has released volunteer numbers for this year's Adopt a Highway program. According to DOT officials, nearly 15,000 volunteers from over 3,000 different groups performed cleanups on sections of adopted roadways this year, putting in over 5,400 hours of work. DOT officials also say volunteers picked up nearly 350,000 pounds of trash from these roadways. Over 5,900 miles of state highways were adopted through the program in 2024. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Packers get ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers installing the game plan for the Seahawks in Seattle on Sunday Night Football. If Green Bay wins and the Falcons lose, the Packers could clinch a playoff spot with four games remaining. Packers tight end Tucker Kraft.
This next storm of games, we're going to be locked in. You know, we're going to be energized. We're going to bring that juice. We're going to be locked into our technique, our assignment, our alignment. If we win a line of scrimmage, we win each game.
College basketball, the Badgers lost down in Illinois last night, 86-80. That's Wisconsin's third loss in a row. NBA, the Bucks with a 114-109 win over the Orlando Magic, and that means the Bucks are headed to the NBA Cup tournament in Las Vegas this weekend. After the game, Damian Lillard praised teammate Bobby Portis for his leadership.
You always want to make sure that you behave in a way that's respectable, even when it's not going your way, because it's going to turn. You want people to know, you know, it's always great to see when Bobby is doing his thing. You know, it's infectious and it changes our team.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Blustery and becoming cold. With crashing temperatures all throughout the day and scattered snow showers, accumulations should stay under an inch. But winds will whip up to 30 miles per hour, creating wind chills that'll feel more like 10 to 20 below. And the cold has a grip on us tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 23.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Master Discombobulator Dan Schaefer and Northeast Wisconsin actor Kurt Krause drops by the studio to discuss independent film. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mock, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. Same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is underway. Civic Media's latest statewide text-to-win contest. It's our grown-up gift list contest. Underway right now, weekdays through next Friday. You want to listen in the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours. You have a chance to pick up either 100 bucks in cash or an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. That happens every one of those hours. And then every hourly entry qualifies you for one of the 8 grand prizes in our grown-up gift list. Everything from espresso machines to luggage to a robot vacuum to a snowblower that Greg would really like, but he can't.
I would love a snowblower, but I can't win it.
He can't win it, but you can win. So here's what you do. Go to your Civic Media app, get to the text button, and text in the word pine, P-I-N-E, pine, like pine tree. P-I-N-E is the word for this hour. We're playing for $100. We're playing for $100 this hour. Don't know what will be happening in the 1 o'clock hour, what you're going to play for, but it's either going to be $100 cash or, again, that overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Get your Civic Media app out. Do it right now and text the word pine.
Pine.
P-I-N-E. We are playing for $100 in cash. And, again, your next chance will be in the 1 o'clock hour with Todd and then 4 p.m. with Dominic Salvia. But right now, the word is pine, P-I-N-E, for $100. Greg's been filming that. We're going to put that up on our our socials.
We forgot the intro music.
Oh, I forgot. Well, we had the... Play it now, Calvin. And the word today is... pine.
Chris Pine.
Just pine. Pine is the word, P-I-N-E. Text in the word pine and... good luck. We're sad.
We are.
We're sad today.
I'm very upset. I'm very sad. And it's not because of cutting the onions. It's because of.
A judge has blocked the onions purchase of Alex Jones's InfoWars.
Such garbage.
Yeah. This broke today. Very, very disappointing news. We just celebrated this. It feels like a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
A bankruptcy judge, according to CNN, has blocked The Onion's winning bid for Alex Jones's InfoWars conspiracy platform, citing concerns that the auction process left money on the table.
Why is that the judge's concern at all?
Judge Christopher Lopez, bankruptcy judge for the Southern District of Texas, a Trump appointee, said, quote, "I'm not going to approve the sale to the purchaser. I think there is a great lack of clarity here." He said, while the process was well intended, It did not maximize value in any way based upon the record before me. So this is my understanding of what happened. There was a court-appointed trustee who said that The Onion won the auction to acquire InfoWars parent company Free Speech Systems.
Gross.
That got sold off as part of the defamation settlement after Alex Jones for decades called the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre a hoax and tortured those families and encouraged his followers to torture those families. The Onion's bid to buy this was backed by families of 8 victims of Sandy Hook and 1 first responder. So the Onion's parent company, which I like to say just because it makes me laugh, Global Tetrahedron, they offered $1.7 million in cash along with a credit from those Sandy Hook families who offered to give up 100% of their portion of the winning bid in order to support this purchase. So that raised the bid to $7 million.
So the judge thinks that this company, Free Speech Laboratories or whatever, it's worth
Free
more
Speech
money.
Systems.
It's worth more money.
The other competing bid was $3.5 million in cash. And that bid comes from First United American Companies, surprise, surprise, affiliated with Alex Jones. And it also runs his online nutritional supplement store.
I thought he was not allowed to have any way, shape, or form any deal with it, like, whatsoever. Like, he can't be a part of anything.
Apparently not. Again, we'll put this article in the show notes, and you can read it for yourself.
This is garbage.
Judge Lopez says he took issue with the auction process. The court-appointed trustee in this case had wide discretion to handle the auction and chose the winner based on his own judgment. He initially said there would be a live auction, but then they changed it to sealed best and final bids. After The Onion was declared the winner, Jones and this First American company sued to stop what they call a Frankenstein bid because of the credit portion that the families offered as part of this deal.
But that's not a Frankenstein. That's a group of people coming together saying we will give up X amount of dollars. In this case, they said 100%. They're going to get paid. So what's the problem here?
Maybe the judge realizes that Alex Jones probably is going to do everything he can to never pay anything because he's been fighting this for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a statement, Christopher Maddie, an attorney for the Connecticut families, again, the Sandy Hook families, say they are disappointed. These families have already persevered through countless delays and roadblocks. They remain resilient and determined as ever to hold Alex Jones and his corrupt businesses accountable for the harm he caused. The decision does not change the fact that soon Alex Jones will begin to pay his debt to these families, and he will continue doing so for as long as it takes. I hope so.
Me too.
I hope so.
This is garbage. I'm so angry about this.
What he did to those families is not only a crime; it's a sin.
He should be in jail for this.
Yes,
he should be in jail. Losing his company is just one of the many things that should happen to Alex Jones, and the fact that any company having anything to do with him whatsoever can be a part of this auction process is criminal, in my opinion. It was a winning bid. It was done.
Yeah.
They cleared it. They said, you got it. The family's a part of this. And anyone who says, you know, oh, they're suing him for his money, well, they've given up their portion of the deal. So this is all garbage. I'm so mad because once again, they get to win.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. So now it's my understanding, again, that the trustee has been given 30 days to come back with a different plan. It's going to go forward in some way, shape, or form. Tuesday night, the CEO of Global Tetrahedron, Ben Collins, told Mother Jones they're very disappointed in the decision, saying the Onion will continue to seek a resolution which helps the Sandy Hook families get a positive outcome for all the horror they endured. Collins also said they will continue to seek a way to purchase InfoWars, adding, quote, "It is part of our larger mission to make a better, funnier internet, regardless of the outcome of this case. And for everyone as upset as we are about this, please know we will continue to seek moments of hope. We are undeterred in our mission to make a funnier world. I hope they do. I hope they keep at it. I hope they get it. I hope The Onion gets InfoWars and makes it the funniest site on the internet.
I hope someone walks in and says,
that would be justice.
I'd love to see someone like a Mark Cuban type be like, I'll give you $20 million in cash right now. And the day that it gets closed, he says, and now The Onion owns this.
Outright. And now I'm going to sell it to The Onion for a dollar.
Yep. And the families, they don't have to give up any of their money anymore. They can make money. They deserve to make money off this piece of slime.
I have to make an order on Cost Plus Drugs. Maybe I'll tack a note on there to Mark Cuban and suggest that he do that. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say about this?
Well, with this whole Alex Jones thing, you can kind of understand why there's such hatred and disdain for CEOs these days.
Okay. What do you mean?
Don't you think? I mean, here this man is trying to rip all these people off, right?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I don't look at, I guess, Cindy, I'm sorry, I don't look at Alex Jones as a CEO. I look at him as a crazy person who's made billions.
But he is a CEO.
Yeah, he is, absolutely.
He absolutely is. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, but, you know, Cindy, too, he's got hundreds of thousands of followers who apparently adore him.
Well, they're adoring the wrong kind of people because I don't understand why you support someone who continuously tries to rip off we the people, especially us lower and middle income. We're the ones that pay the brunt of this, feel the brunt of this. And I mean, I completely understand why that young man shot that Humana CEO the other day. I totally get it. I mean, it's just so frustrating.
People are angry. There's no question about it, Cindy. People are furious. People are angry. But again, I cannot justify vigilante violence. Yeah. That's horrifying. And it's just horrifying.
I think these are two very good situations to look at. You look at the situation that's happening in New York right now, Manhattan, with that CEO. That is,
and he was from United Healthcare, by the way.
Did I say
no? Cindy said he was from Humana.
That is a situation which people really identified with, and I get why people are angry and why people might say this is what needed to be done. I disagree with that. I don't think it's what needed to be done. You took a human life. That'll solve nothing. Healthcare is not being solved by this. What The Onion is doing, what they want to do, is use resources and heart and the will of the people to buy up this disgusting brand and turn it into something funny and informative.
Yes.
This is how you win. This is how you do it right, in my opinion. You go in with the money if you can get it. That's my big problem, is that it's not the CEOs. I understand what Cindy's saying. For me, it's not the CEOs. It's the rich people get to win again. They're always going to get to win again because at the end of the day, they're the ones who foot the bills, who get people like this judge in. Don't tell me that Trump picked a judge who is real level-headed, in my opinion. This is garbage.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. We're just up against the clock, Mark, real quickly, if you would, please.
Well, that's just it. I wonder if this judge was contacted by anybody to make this decision the way he made it. Elon Stench doesn't, it's not far from my mind that he wouldn't have said, you know, if you toss us on, I'll make things good for you. But, because Musk is going to be, Stench is going to be interfering with everything.
You're not wrong. And there's a mention of an Elon lawyer who got his nose in this case. And again, if you want to check it out, check our show notes after the show is over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows, click on Matt Nair on air. We will be right back. Stay close. We're going to talk about the end of an era. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station. I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Ho ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho ho ho!
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm going out tonight. Best believe I'm still bejeweled when I walk in the room.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mock, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin, it is underway this hour. Yes, Civic Media's statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. If you have the Civic Media app, and if you don't have it yet, you should get it.
You should get it.
It's absolutely free. Get your Civic Media app out. Go to the text button and text the word pine. P-I-N-E is the word for this hour. You have until noon to text the word pine, P-I-N-E, into the Civic Media app. And then you're in the running. This hour, it's for $100 cash. Every hour that we play it in the 7, 11, 1, and 3, it's either $100 in cash or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resorts in Wisconsin Dells. And then everyone who enters is going to be in the running for one of 8 grand prizes, including robotic vacuums. We've got a snowblower. We've got espresso machines.
Ooh.
I know. Some really, really nice stuff, though.
You did say 3 o'clock.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock. I'm sorry. I apologize. 7, 11, 1, and 4.
Is it weird that I always feel weird when I, like, if you make, I know that we need to say the most correct thing possible on the radio. But if you or anyone says it, I feel about, I'm like, don't say anything. It's rude to say something.
Correct
you know
me.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So Midwestern.
But, well, yeah, thank you for correcting me. Yes. Your next chance will be 1 o'clock with Todd and then 4 o'clock with Dom. But this hour, the word is pine, P-I-N-E, for $100. Good luck. You have until noon. And again, you can still download the Civic Media app. Go to wherever you get your apps. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely free. Won't cost you anything. And then you can play along because we're going to do it all of this week and then all of next week.
And if you want to skip Todd for a day, go ahead. He's not going to miss you. We'll miss you.
He's so far ahead right now. I can't even. Yeah, it's incredible. But we are proud. We just want to give our listeners a shot at this $100 in your chance.
We're a spunky little outfit.
We are spunky here at MOA. Speaking of spunky being spunky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Headline reads, Taylor Swift gave staff $197 million in bonuses from her $2 billion Eras tour.
I am working for the wrong things in life. I should have gotten into guitar tech or just light rigging.
Well, we were just complaining about the very wealthy and Alex Jones and billionaires. And then you have someone like this. Taylor Swift has given out nearly $200 million in bonuses to everyone who worked on her 2-year Eras tour, including truck drivers, caterers, instrument techs, the merch team, lighting, sound, production staff and assistants, carpenters, dancers, band, security. There's a lot of people involved in pulling off something like this. Choreographers, pyrotechnics, all the riggers, the hair and makeup and wardrobe people, physical therapists, the video team. That's pretty great.
That's amazing. I mean, you think about that, $197 million out of $2 billion, that's like 10%.
Yeah.
That's about 10%. And I wonder how many artists are out there who, I mean, this is the largest tour of all time.
It changed world economies.
Yeah, it beat out Elton John's, who was number one, by over $1.1 billion. And they haven't even done the math yet. And this doesn't include, like, merch, which is another $400 million. The movie that was $135 million. And it just, there is a discussion that happens about, do billionaires need to exist? Are billionaires evil by design? Are if you're worth that much money, can you be a good person? I don't know about that argument, because I feel like there's more psychology that goes into it, and there's more smart than I have to talk about it. But I do feel like you have this new crop of billionaires, and that includes people like Selena Gomez, people like Taylor Swift. He's not new, but Mark Cuban has shown that you can use your money for good. And while I understand there's always going to be arguments to say, you need to give more away, well, call them and tell them. But what I'm saying is that where we see CEOs, multimillionaire
Jeff billionaires. Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk.
I mean,
those guys.
Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post to ensure that their tagline, democracy dies in the darkness, never goes away. And we saw how he treated it this last election. Elon Musk used to be a guy who wanted to help people with a better tomorrow and a better earth and with traveling. And now we see where he's at right now. So there's examples, I feel like, on both sides. Granted, Taylor Swift is poor compared to Elon Musk, but I do feel like these individuals, and it might be some of the fact that they're younger and they're women, that shows that they're just maybe hope for people who are that rich.
Well, and I would hope as well that some of these people don't broadcast their charitable givings.
Yeah.
You know, not every very, very wealthy person has their own building on a, you know, something. Put up here, I'll build you a library, put my name on it.
Yeah.
I hope. But one thing I have seen on social media just lately is if you make just $1 under $1 billion, that's where you stop.
Yeah.
And then anything after that goes to infrastructure, schools, and medical care.
I would love to see a congressperson or a senator
bring that up
and just hear the, and from both sides, because, you know, we have senators and congresspeople who are very, very rich.
Oh, Nancy Pelosi's doing just fine.
And make money off of our stock markets. But
yeah.
I don't know about that. Maybe, well, I don't know. Just honestly, if we were just able to tax the mega wealthy easier, then we wouldn't need schemes like this. If we didn't allow them to just shove their money into accounts offshores, we wouldn't need things like this. If they were just willing to pay a percentage.
Just a percentage,
which
yeah.
would leave them with plenty of cheese on their Whoppers.
Yeah, they'd still have plenty of money. Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for joining us. We only got about a minute. Rob, go ahead.
That's all right. I'll be short and sweet here. Good morning. Paul Krugman, economist. Editorialist for the New York Times, just hung up the spurs. And his parting commentary piece is riveting. I would encourage anybody out there, it's Krugman, I believe it is, Paul, and he hits it right on the head regarding billionaires and their angst and their frustration. Money's not getting it for them, so they got to take it out on the world.
Thank you, Rob. I'll look for that article, and we'll see if we can include that in the show notes once the show is over today. Thanks a lot, Rob. Appreciate it. News coming up next. When we return, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here with public cervix announcement. We're talking all things flu-ish. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global, Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The vision of Viroqua's 1936 Works Progress Administration bathhouse becoming the Viroqua Welcome Center is closer to becoming a reality. The WPA Bathhouse Task Force has achieved its fundraising goal with the allocation of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Community Development Investment Grant of $250,000. The renovation of the building located at 220 Rock Avenue in the heart of Viroqua is forecast to begin by summer 2025. Key features of the Viroqua Welcome Center will be a visitor and community information center, a meeting and gathering space for community and business use, downtown public restrooms, and a trailhead for Vernon County's recreational trails. While the fundraising milestone is a cause for celebration, the project continues to seek donations and pledges to strengthen its budget and enhance the center's programming and amenities. Public Health Sauk County and SSM Health have announced a life-saving tool in the Lake Delton community. A free public health vending machine inside the SSM Health Lake Delton Urgent Care Clinic. The machine offers free Narcan nasal spray, Deterra medication disposal kits, and listings of local mental health and substance use resources. These free supplies will be available to all during clinic business hours. This is the second public health vending machine to be installed in Sauk County, with the first located in the entrance of the SSM Health St. Clair Hospital Baraboo Emergency Room. Public Health Sauk County purchased the vending machine and supplies with funding from a Wisconsin Department of Health Services grant. The hope is to secure more grant funds to install more vending machines in other locations in the area. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Incredibly underrated actress Linda Cardellini has agreed to join the cast of HBO's DTF St. Louis. The three-time Emmy-nominated Cardellini joins series regulars Jason Bateman and David Harbour. According to Variety, DTF St. Louis is a dark comedy and will broadcast 7 episodes. The show tells the story of a midlife crisis love triangle where one character ends up dead. Cardellini has been cast in the role of Carol. Harbour and Bateman are also executive producers. The show is currently in pre-production. Jamie Foxx has finally revealed during a stand-up comedy special what his illness was a couple years ago. The comedian who told the crowd how happy he was to be back also revealed what he was suffering from, a brain bleed. Foxx went into surgery and says he woke up 20 days later with no idea of what happened. If you want to hear more about Foxx's ordeal, check out his comedy special, which is currently streaming on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Blustery and becoming cold, with crashing temperatures all throughout the day and scattered snow showers. Accumulations should stay under an inch, but winds will whip up to 30 miles per hour, creating wind chills that'll feel more like 10 to 20 below. And the cold has a grip on us tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 22 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Up North News radio host Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson, Packer owner and senior advisor at Lincoln Project, is here to discuss. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are waiting to be joined by Dr. Laura Hanks. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public cervix announcement. I know she's had some sick kids at home.
Yeah.
Last year they went through pink eye and lice, and it was just one big barrel of fun over at the Hanks household.
And five of them were in an iron lung.
Yeah, no. And I think they've had some flu in their house.
Oh, God.
So there's all kinds of stuff that are starting to go around.
Just do what I do. Deny the existence of the sickness and bathe and drink DayQuil. You'll be fine.
No, I'm not
a doctor.
No, I wouldn't suggest doing that. I do want to remind you, this is one of the hours where you can text in the word via the Civic Media app.
What's the word?
Calvin, do we have that very dramatic open? The word you want to text right now is pine. It's all about timing. Timing.
It's the timing. It's the
Pine is the word, P-I-N-E. Text in the word pine via the Civic Media app. You have the chance to pick up $100 in cash every hour that we play this, 7, 11, 1, and 4. It's either $100 in cash up for grabs or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then every entry qualifies you for one of the 8 grand prizes. Could be a vacuum cleaner.
Robot vacuum.
Could be an espresso machine, maybe a snowblower, maybe a set of luggage. So text the word pine, P-I-N-E. You have until noon to do that. And you can still download the Civic Media app if you don't have it. It's very easy and it's free. Go to wherever you get your apps. civicmedia.us. Pine is the word. P-I-N-E.
Guess who's here?
Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public cervix announcement. Dr. Hanks, what kind of illness are you dealing with now at your home?
I mean, you know.
What aren't you dealing with?
The cough, the fevers, who knows?
So, Dr. Hanks, I am not a trained doctor at all. I just gave them my thoughts and said, bathing and drinking gallons of DayQuil is always helpful and denying the fact they're sick at all. Can I get from you in there it is. See, doctor approved.
That's all the reinforcement that you needed.
I did it. I went to medical school.
Good to know. There is a lot of stuff floating around though. Are you seeing many cases of the actual influenza?
I haven't seen much yet. Of course, you know, in an OBGYN office, they usually don't come to us and we would rather them not. I haven't heard of much. I wonder if that's what my son just had, honestly, with the fevers and stuff. And also because this is such a sad story, we went to get his vaccines, like it was a week ago. And I went to the local pharmacy who I love and they're great, but you know, he's young, so he doesn't like it. He got the COVID vaccine. I was like, that sucked. And so he started crying and wiggling and they went to put the flu shot in and he moved. And so it just went pew,
like the flu shot and, did
like, the flu shot, like the vaccine was like all over, you know, speaking of like bathing and
oh
like,
no,
like, did that get in him at all?
It got like, all over him.
What a waste. Like, what a waste of a tiny microchip. Oh my gosh.
Right. It was in my clothes now, I guess.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I'm like, does he have the flu? Cause he like most of it went all over the office. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Vaccines are not typically topical.
No, not how they work.
Well, that's really unfortunate. I bet the person who was administering it felt pretty bad.
Yeah, and he's like our, you know, local pharmacist that knows our first names and is just like lovely. I was like, ooh, I didn't hold him very well, did I? Well,
that's got to be tough though when you have to hold down your own child so they can get a shot, you know.
I bet.
I have one of my earliest memories when I was 5 years old, my father took me to get my vaccinations and they had to strip me naked. Hold me down 4 nurses by the arms and the ankles because I was going insane.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I was so afraid of needles because there's a needle and I'm five. I don't know any better. But eventually it came to I'm fine with needles now. But I have a visual recollection of that time on my stomach, screaming my head off.
Aww.
And no, you can laugh at me.
I was an anti-vaxxer. We had, when I was growing up, I grew up in the South, and I remember that had this, one of my earliest memories was this really large nurse, and she'd say, "Oh, baby, come over here and give me a big hug." And we give her a hug, and then she...
Oh, sneaky.
Yeah, give me a big old hug, darling.
That didn't make you anti-hugging?
No, I'm a huge hugger, you'd think. Yeah, like be afraid, like, oh.
I've seen wonderful videos of pediatricians who will do like these fun little exercises with kids. Like, yeah. They'll tap their cheeks and put it in. And the kid's like, "What happened?" And they're fine.
Yeah.
Distracting their attention, yeah. I'm sure, is a real big part of it. It's so funny that you were talking about childhood memories of vaccines. I'm the youngest of six.
Yeah.
And I remember all of us lined up with our pants down and her just coming down the line and giving us shots in our butts.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Well, you know, my generation's soft. I'm allowed to like act out the way it does. I don't respect authority like yours did. That's amazing.
Yeah, we get hugs, so we're even softer.
No, it's just like bend over, take it. It's over. You're dating.
I got other
things to do. What do you think I'm doing here? Dr. Laura Hanks is our guest for public cervix announcement. You can always send the doctor a question if you have a medical question, and we can keep it anonymous if you would rather not have us talk about it on the air. That's fine. But you can always send it to janesays@civicmedia.us, JANESAYS at civicmedia.us. Use the same email if you have a guest you think would be great to be on the show.
Yeah.
If there's an issue in your community, something that you think should have a little highlight on it, bring it to our attention.
Please.
And we'll be happy to cover that for you. So it's very useful. Jane Says, JANESAYS. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. I realize you're an OBGYN doctor, but we were talking a little bit about, I'm hearing more now about the bird flu, about the avian flu. Is that much you're hearing colleagues talk about?
Oh, you did mention that, and I forgot to look it up. I'm sorry. It's like with a sick kid the last 2 days. It's been
challenging.
My brain is everywhere. That's my excuse today. I personally have not heard much about it. I don't know. I should ask my best friend from med school's infectious disease. So I'm always like, he's like my go-to with like what's going on with this, and he's usually, you know, grumpy about it. there's always something on the horizon, right? Like, and I think, you know, paying attention, but also remembering, as we always say, to get your vaccines for flu and COVID and make sure that we're at least keeping that under wraps for this season. With it coming up. And something I was thinking about too is like, I think that people that have kids, I always really struggle with like when to take the kid in when they have like an illness. And so again, I'm lucky that another one of my good friends from med school is a pediatrician. So she calls me whenever she's pregnant and then I call her about my kid.
It works out nicely.
One way. And so I actually FaceTime her because I always hear about like retraction. So when kids are working really hard to breathe, you can actually see like their stomach muscles and ribs kind of retracting and the skin getting really tight. So our son was doing that. And I was like, is that when I take him in? I can't remember. So like looking at kids, you know, having them take their shirts off and looking at how
they're breathing,
they're, like, working to breathe. And she reminded me that that's not necessarily a reason to bring them in, or, you know, what they're going to do is run a respiratory panel. They're going to see if it's flu or RSV or whatever. But they're going to tell you like rest and Tylenol and stuff. But the things to look out for is if they're not eating and drinking. So if they're so sick that they like are not interested, and that's like a huge red flag for my little meatball because that kid loves food. so that's why I was like, I'm like, watching. I'm like, do you want water? You know, and I think that if they're not, because if they can't hydrate or feed themselves, then that's a pretty big red flag. Or if they're just being really, you know, kids will be tired, but like if they're so lethargic, they like can't get up, or, you know, they're going to want to snuggle, which is sometimes nice. But the retractions are big. And then if you can get like a pulse oximeter, so a little thing that can measure kids' oxygen rate, if it drops, again, I had to be reminded of this, if it drops below 90% while they're awake, that means they're not getting enough oxygen in. And so you should take them in. It can go down to 88% while they're sleeping. Because all of us have, you know, a little bit
slow down, sure,
breathing as heavy. So that's like another kind of easy thing that you can pick up at your local pharmacy or CVS, Walgreens, whatever, that I think was just kind of like helpful reminder. I feel like I have to be reminded every flu season of like how to do, like when to do. Because everyone just like, they're like, they're sick, I don't know. And you take them in, they're like, yeah, they're sick, go home. And you're like, great, now I just spread it to everyone here.
Yeah, but I think that's really comforting that you as a doctor wrestle over whether or not your child is sick enough to go to the doctor, because I think that's something that's got to be so relatable to anyone who's a parent.
Totally. I had no idea. And like my husband is so annoyed. He's just like, well, you're a doctor, you know? And I'm like, I don't deal with this kind of like little people.
Little people medicine is different but it is.
Yeah. That's just so funny. He's like, well, you're a doctor. I'm not a doctor of everything.
Well, and he's an ornithologist. So does he know all about?
He does it to be a smart.
But yeah, like, ask him what he knows about bird flu. He should, you know, then he should know all about that, right?
Oh, he would talk to. He would pretend to know about it.
The one thing I wanted to, we got about 2 minutes left too, Dr. Hanks. RSV is something that we've heard a lot more about in just the last couple of years, it seems to me. This was never anything that I knew about when I was growing up. So who is it important to, who should get vaccinated, and why is it important to get vaccinated for this?
So cool that we started getting the RSV vaccines last year for our pregnant patients. Right now it's approved to give once you are 32 weeks, and it is because we know that it will cross the placenta. So you give your growing fetus some protection when they come out, especially if they're born during RSV season. As some people may remember, RSV was real bad last year.
Yeah.
My son got it and it was horrible. Like it was a week of just high fevers and misery, no one's sleeping. And a lot of kiddos end up in the hospital too. I mean, we were real close to taking him in one night. So I that's what I tell my patient. I'm like, you just don't want this, especially in a newborn. And he was, you know, a year and a half at that time and still really struggled. So, really great to get for moms, for pregnant ladies, patients. If they miss that window, newborns can get the RSV vaccine. And I would definitely ask about it in the hospital if you weren't able to get it for whatever reason. You know, there was this kind of weird time where we didn't have them until mid-September. So then those kiddos that were born before mom had access could be getting the vaccine. So, you know, it is just like such so huge to have, and it's such a great one. And unfortunately, with all the badness around vaccines, we have people bad media.
There you go.
They are good.
Misinformation, shall we say.
Misinformation, yes. I love vaccines. I don't want to go. But we do have patients that decline them, but there's just such great evidence that it can really, really help.
Well, and I would imagine that once you see your child struggling with something like that, that's going to change your mind pretty quickly.
Seriously.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. And I tell people that I'm like, this went through our house. I watched my son and like, I wish that on no one. Like, I don't want you to have to go through this. I really would encourage you to think about getting this vaccine.
Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday at this time for public cervix announcement. I hope everybody's feeling better in the household. We will talk to you next week. Thanks a lot. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Nope. Sferatu edition. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After two recounts, an incumbent North Carolina Supreme Court justice was declared the winner by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Her GOP challenger now claims 60,000 of those voters were ineligible. Democratic Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over Appeals Court Judge Jefferson Griffin December 10th, after a machine recount in November didn't change the margin's percentage. Tuesday's partial hand recount found no evidence to justify Griffin's request for a full hand recount, according to North Carolina Newsline. Griffin has refused to concede the race and in November appealed to the North Carolina Elections Board to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Newsline reports that his challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's voting rights restoration after sentences and probation are completed. He and the North Carolina GOP are also challenging voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Mail ballots from military and overseas voters have been questioned as well. The State Elections Board meets this week to consider the challenges. A spokesperson for the Riggs campaign said in a statement, "This election has concluded and the voters have issued a clear verdict in electing Justice Riggs." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You have about 8 minutes left via the Civic Media app to text the word PINE, P-I-N-E. PINE is the word for this hour. To text in via the Civic Media app, we're playing for $100 in cash. Ooh. That would be nice right before Christmas. I'm sure you could use it. $100 in cash every hour that we play, though, in the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours. It's either that $100 or you could win an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everyone who enters is going to be in the drawing for the grand prizes. There are 8 of them, including espresso machines, which also would be a nice Christmas gift.
Ooh.
A snowblower, that wouldn't be too bad. A nice set of luggage, and much, much more. So text in the word via the Civic Media app. Text the word PINE, P-I-N-E, for $100. All right, it is 11:53. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Today it is the Nopesferatu edition. Headline reads from IndieWire, "For $20,000, you can sleep like Bill Skarsgård in Nosferatu, a full-size replica of Count Orlok's sarcophagus bed, are now available for sale." Yes, you heard that right. The upcoming horror film Nosferatu, going back, and that's one of the earliest vampire movies, I think.
Yeah, I think it was the first horror movie.
The first horror movie. That it was black and white and pretty scary.
Yeah.
They have a new version coming out this month, Nosferatu. The sarcophagus bed, thank goodness, featured in the movie is now available for fans to purchase everywhere. A full-size replica of the one used by Bill Skarsgård's Count Orlok on screen. It's actually handcrafted from premium materials. and sits on a wooden base with intricate carvings. Hence the $20,000 price tag. The Focus Features says in an email, this highly collectible sarcophagus also features a distinctive interior with a custom fit mattress and foam lid for easy opening at sundown.
I feel like we're doing an ad for this now. Like,
the Nosferatu sarcophagus bed weighs 250 pounds, is sanded and hand coated, comes with a numbered certificate of authenticity. You got to make sure that it fits, though. The outside of the sarcophagus, including lid and base, measures 97 inches long, 36 inches wide, and 46 inches high. That is a pretty roomy coffin. But if that's your thing, I can't bring a friend. And the lid closes.
Well, then I'm in. Right? I mean, my goodness.
What are you going to do with it if the thing doesn't close?
I wasn't going to buy this piece of garbage until you said the lid closes. My goodness.
$20,000, and this can be yours. It would certainly make for a very unique Christmas gift. I'm not quite sure what message that would send to your loved one.
I mean, it would make, like, I hope you sleep tight.
This couldn't happen soon enough. Yeah.
I was just trying to help.
Just a thought.
Just a thought.
Nosferatu, the newest edition, premieres in theaters this Christmas. Nothing says Christmas like a nice, creepy vampire movie.
The original came out in 1922. It is 102
years old.
Wow.
Wow. It also stars, along with Mr. Skarsgård, Nicholas Holt, Lily Rose Depp, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Emma Corrin, Ralph Ineson, Simon McBurney, and Willem Dafoe.
Of course it's got Willem Dafoe in it.
That's right in his alley.
He's always in the movies, and I'm happy about that. I'm here for this. I paid $20,000 to hang out with William Dafoe.
Well, if you want to check it out, you can sleep when you're dead.
Yeah.
For $20,000, sleep like Bill Skarsgård in Nosferatu. Have fun.
Let me put it this way. If I spent 20 grand on a coffin bed, I would probably be murdered by my wife. So I would have the perfect place, you know,
to go to rest.
Exactly.
That's nice. That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, Neil Unwitz is going to be joining us. He is with National Security Leaders for America. Mm-hmm. And he wrote an op-ed a couple of weeks ago about how to deal with the incoming administration.
Nice.
He's got kind of a slightly different take on things.
Gotcha.
So that should be interesting. Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Just got on the books this morning.
We just got her book today. She will be here at 11:21 and then 11:30, as he is every other Thursday, all things sports with Acme Sports Company's Paul Noonan. And we will be talking about Aaron Rodgers.
He has opinions on Aaron Rodgers.
It should be a great, great show.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. Stay tuned for that. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, I'll be joined by Matt Rothschild. Are Americans paying more than ever for their health care? And Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg not yet ready to drop the Trump case because president-elect immunity does not exist. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The latest inflation indicator released by the Labor Department showing consumer prices ticked up slightly last month compared to a year ago, sending stocks soaring. ABC's Jim Ryan says the numbers for November are in line with analysts' expectations.
Last month's year-over-year increase in prices for all items came in at 2.7% compared to 2.6% in October. Rising inflation would normally have the Federal Reserve considering a boost in interest rates. But when Fed officials meet next week, they're expected to lower a key rate by 0.25%.
The attorney representing Luigi Mangione says his client plans to plead not guilty to the murder of United Healthcare CEO last week in New York City. The 26-year-old being held in Pennsylvania prison on a gun charge while he fights extradition to New York. In Southern California, 20,000 people now have been evacuated as crews in Malibu try to get the upper hand on a wildfire. Santa Ana winds should ease tonight. This is ABC News.